Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 6. John, chapter 6. We'll read verses 59 through 66 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 6, verses 59 through 66. John, chapter 6, verses 59 through 66. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, "This is an hard saying, who can hear it?" When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, "Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, "Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father." From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this place. Thank you that it can be said there is a man of God in this city. Thank you for a church that stands for truth and right and righteousness. Father, tonight our preacher will preach a truth. May our hearts be tender. May our hearts be yielded to the Holy Spirit as he is yielded to the Holy Spirit, so that you could do your work, please. Give us a great service in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
In John chapter 6, you see something unique taking place. I want us to read it again if we can. Turn to John chapter 6, if you will. Look at verse number 59. The Bible says this, "These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, 'This is an hard saying, who can hear it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, 'Doth this offend you? What, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Is a spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and should betray him. He said, therefore, said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." This passage of Scripture, you see Jesus speaking to some of his disciples. Now, disciples would have been saved people. Of course, here we find out there were some that didn't really believe. But whatever it was that he had taught, it was pretty tough teaching. It says there in verse number 60, his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is an hard saying." So, that means that Jesus said some things in his ministry, and they were hard things. It even says here that there were people that were offended by what he said. In verse number 61, he asks the question, "Doth this offend you?" Some were so offended by what Jesus said that it says from that time in verse 66, many of the disciples went back and walked no more with him. So understand something. He was saying some things, and they were hard things, to the point that he noticed that they were offended. And it was so bad that some people left that synagogue, they left Jesus and said, "That's it. But we're not following him anymore." Let me remind you something. These were not lost people necessarily rejecting him. Now, we know sprinkled in here there were some people that had already rejected him, but it does say that there were disciples there. So these were not lost people rejecting the strong teaching. They were disciples that were rejecting the teaching. And these people were not rejecting a man of God. They were rejecting the God-man. Can you imagine? They actually rejected the teaching of Jesus Christ. And we're not talking about just lost people. We're talking about some people that were called disciples. They were rejecting not a man of God, but the God-man. Jesus did some tough teaching in his time. He taught, so they used the term hard. They taught, and he even said, he said, this offends you. He taught hard enough that many said, that's it. We're leaving. We're not going to follow you anymore, Jesus. And so he did some tough teaching in his time. Jesus, at one point in Matthew chapter 21, we won't turn to it. You read verse 12, 13, 14, and 15, and you'll find that Jesus throws a fit in the temple. What had happened is there were some lost businessmen. They'd gone into the temple and they'd set up animals, and they would sell these animals so the people could buy them for sacrifices. But it had turned into a marketplace is what had happened. It had made it so Jesus actually talks about how you have made my temple, the house of God, into a den of thieves. And the Bible says that when Jesus walked in, they seen it. It looked like it was a big marketplace. They were not sincerely looking for proper sacrifice. Those men were just in there to make money off the church people and were virtually stealing the tithes and offerings while they were spending their money at this makeshift market that had been set up in the church. Jesus went in and he threw an ever-loving fit. The Bible says that he kicked over their tables. Now, you have to understand, Jesus has walked into the church. He's going around kicking over these tables. It says that he took their money box and threw it on the ground. Now, let me explain something to you about taking somebody's money box and throwing it on the ground. You had a box full of money, and you were at a market, and some guy came over and grabbed your money box and threw it in the air and threw your money all over the place. I've got a hunch that would tick you off. Because I'll tell you, something that means something to people, that's their money. You go to fiddling with their money, you're going to have problems. I have this sneaking suspicion that when Jesus started kicking over tables and their products started hitting the ground, and then he took their cash register and threw it on the ground, and their money went jingling and jangling and blowing to the wind, and it took off. And of course, if there were bus kids there, bus kids were right on top of that money. So if there were deacons there, that money was right in their pockets. And I have a hunch that they might have been upset. Now, Jesus did some tough things. I mean, he went right into the church. He broke up their party like that. Jesus said some tough things. Jesus did some tough things. Listen to some of the words that are used by Jesus Christ. In Matthew 23, verse number 27, the Bible says this, "Ye are like whited sepulchres, but are within full of dead men's bones." This is Jesus saying to some people, you're virtually like you're like a tomb. And you've made yourself look white and clean on the outside, but on the inside of you, there's nothing but a bunch of dead men's bones. That's what he said to these people. In Matthew 23:28, he says, "Ye also outwardly appear righteous, but within you're full of hypocrisy." I mean, he's telling people, oh, you look good on the outside, but on the inside, you're nothing but a hypocrite. Those are pretty bold words. Those are bold words. He says in Matthew 23, verse 33, he said, "Ye serpents," he's actually calling people snakes, "ye generation of vipers," sounds to me like he was pretty tough. I mean, one day he goes down to the church, throws a fit, kicks over all their tables, throws their money everywhere. Another day he goes down and he says, "You're a bunch of snakes. You're a bunch of vipers. You're a bunch of whited sepulchres filled with dead men's bones." He preached hard enough to some disciples. They said, "This is a hard saying." And they were offended. And they packed their duds and walked out of the church, and they never came back. Now, here's the great thing about it. All the time that Jesus was being tough, he was still the God of love that he had been created to be. Jesus was throwing a fit, Jesus was upset about sin. Jesus, hey, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Jesus was angry about sin, but he still loved like he was supposed to love. There are some people that seem to think that the preacher ought to be a twerp. There are some that think the preacher ought to be, a sissy and always soft-spoken. I'm sorry, the Bible does not teach that at all. If you want to be a fundamental Baptist church or a fundamental Baptist preacher for long, you're going to have a little grit just because of what you're going to face. But Jesus was tough. He wasn't sissy. He wasn't feminine. He was a tough man. He was a tough preacher. I mean, for him to walk in, start throwing over tables, and I'm not talking about plastic white tables that you buy down at Sam's Club for $29.95. I'm talking about stone tables. I'm talking about he was overturning those things and people were scrambling. At one point in the Bible, it says he took a whip and he drove them out of the temple. He was so upset at the way they were behaving. Now, he was tough, but yet he was tender. You see, I really believe this. I think there are some times that the preacher has to say some tough things. I'll tell you why. Because we're thick-headed. We have this sinful nature. And we have this ability to justify what we do. We also have a problem. We forget how we're supposed to live. And we need to be reminded of how we're supposed to live. Tonight, I'm going to say some things. To some of you, they're going to seem tough. If you're a visitor tonight, I apologize to you. I'll probably say a couple things that you're not going to quite understand. But I want to remind our church there is a right and a wrong way to live. But what I'm going to do tonight, I'm going to blow my stack, but I'm going to keep my cool. I've already decided. I'm going to say some things that will be pointed. I'm going to say some things about what we should and should not do. But I'm going to try. I'm going to do it with a smile on my face. I'm not going to throw a fit. I'm not kicking over any tables. I'm not going to kick over any microphone stands. I probably won't raise my voice. And so I'm going to blow my stack, but I'm going to keep my cool if I can. We're going to try. We're going to see what happens. I even did this. I brought me a Slurpee to keep myself cool. I got an orange Slurpee here. Just in case I get fired up, I can put the fire out. This is orange. And then you got to be careful drinking these too fast. They give you a real bad headache. Does anybody know how you get rid of a Slurpee headache? I've tried everything. Blowing air, doing, the pull of my nose. But I'm going to say some things. Some will seem a little strong, but I want you to know, I tell you because I think there's a right and a wrong way to live. I think there are right and wrong things that we ought to do. Let me say this. Number one, let's not allow the summer season to weaken our walk with God. I'll tell you, the summer season seems to be a backsliding season. The sermon that we put out on the table in the back for our special blue light special sale is called Satan's Favorite Season, and it is. It's a very hard sermon. And it is a sermon that I preached about this time last year, and it's very pointed, and it talks about sin. And preachers are not supposed to be afraid to talk about sin. If preachers do not try to keep America moral and right, who's going to do it? Our government's not going to do it. Our public schools are not going to do it. They're passing out birth control devices. They ought to be telling the young people, no, you don't do that. Not giving them a way to mess up their lives. Oh, but that sermon, Satan's Favorite Season, that's a tough sermon. I told you, I wouldn't buy a copy of it if you're not up to it, because it'll be rough. There'll be some things in there that'll bother you. But listen to me, let's not let the summer season destroy our Christianity. Let's not let it destroy our walk with God. You young people that just graduated from Martinsburg Christian Academy, you've been all these years over here in this school. Let me warn you of something. Now, you don't have the rules of Martinsburg Christian Academy anymore. Don't go out and mess up your life. Don't go out and you say, well, I'm not in a Christian school anymore. I can go out and tie one on. Hey, don't go out and mess up your life. Listen, you find out more of what a young person is made of the year after they get out of the Christian school than probably what you learn about them in the 12 or 13 years they were in the Christian school. Why? Because now they have to serve God because it's right and there's not a school hovering over them. Young people, don't you disappoint your mom and dad and your Christian school teachers. You do right this summer. You live right. Don't you say, well, now I'm free and I've graduated from school and I can do what I want. You better do what God wants. Wait, brother. I knew I was going to have a problem. How are you doing? You okay? It's good. Good. Listen, summer is a lust season. Season of lust. Let's be careful that we don't lust like the world lusts. Could I tell you all something? Lust is wrong. Let's see if I can say this. I'm going to say it real calmly. Brethren, lust is sinful. Lust is nasty, nasty, nasty. You should not do that, boys and girls. Hey, employees of the church, you're on God's payroll 52 weeks out of the year. Don't you forget that. Don't you forget that. Live right. You don't need a cold beer for the hot temperature. You don't need wine coolers. They're not cool to God. If you need something to cool you off, get you a Slurpee. But let's not let the summer season weaken our walk with God. Secondly, you need to be faithful to church over the summertime. The Bible says in Ephesians 3:21, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages and the world without end. Notice it says, unto Him be glory in the church. It's hard to glorify God when you're not in church like you're supposed to be in church. Don't let the summer cause unfaithfulness. And again, I don't understand something. I'll watch people that will be faithful during the school year, and they'll be faithful in church. They'll be faithful to put their kids in school. Summer will hit. You'll hardly see them around the church.
Right.
Now, do you worship God or worship the school? Listen, we go to church 12 months out of the year. 52 Sundays out of the year. 52 Wednesday nights out of the year. You be careful that you do not let education become your God. I think you ought to be educated. But you ought to be in church. You ought to be in church, Martinsburg Christian Academy students and parents. I don't understand something. I don't understand parents that don't want their kids to be faithful to church. They'll come when you'll wish you would have. Hey, it might even be good if while we're in church, we would listen to what's being said. I guess I struggle understanding how you can be told something one month and turn around the very next month and have yourself in a total mess over what you were just warned about. Do you all realize, and I'm doing the smiling, you all realize you will give answer to God for what you have heard from this pulpit? I'm not here just to entertain, though I do a more than adequate job of entertaining you. I'm not here just to entertain. You're to obey the preaching of the Word of God. You know, believe it or not, I could save you a lot of grief. I could save you a ton of grief. You know, your parents, while you're rearing your kids, if you do what I tell you, it'll turn out better. It will. Promise. Cross my heart. Hope Devin Nash dies. Be faithful to church, because at church will keep you out of a mess. You know, you're going to find those that are least most faithful usually have the biggest messes in their lives. So don't let the summer get you out of church. You've got a routine. Stay in that routine and stay in church. Don't let the summer weaken your walk with God, and don't let it cause you to become unfaithful to church. Hey, number three, don't practice nudity over the summer. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 6, it says, none of you shall approach any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. Now, this is where it'll get a little tough on some of you, but I don't think you ought to be going to the beaches and to the public swimming pools and stripping yourself down and letting everybody see your body. You know what most women wear to a the beach or to a swimming pool? It's equivalent to their underclothes. You say, well, I don't like that. Think about it for just a second. And that's not right. That's not right. It's a lust creator. And it's an immorality creator. Preachers used to preach that. They used to have the courage to preach it. But boy, today, you'll have people rolling their eyes and being snooty. But I'm just telling you, folks, we're not supposed to be running around naked, putting our halter tops on and our shorts on. You say, Brother Owens, I don't like that. But I love you. There are other ways of saying what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, it's not right. We're not to unclothe ourselves and start running around like that. You say, I think it's okay, then wear it to church. Just because there's a little sand doesn't mean you should strip down to your underclothes and start dancing around. Sand does not justify nudity. America used to have some morals. Listen, let me warn you about the public swimming pools. If you enjoy swimming in water with other people's urine, you go right ahead. That'll help you enjoy this week's dip in the water. Get your big mouth full. Be a fountain in the baby pool. And ladies, this is not the time of the year when you uncover half your bosom in the name of being comfortable. You're supposed to be showing yourself like that. Your body is for your husband to see. And I'm not trying to offend you and I'm not trying to hurt you, but it's right. It's right. Ladies, be modest. And men, control your eyes. We may be able to get the people in our church to be different than the world and to be moral and clean and not to cause lust. We're not going to be able to get the world out there to do it. And you're not going to be able to get the carnal, backslidden Christians to do it either. But control your eyes. Control your eyes. Don't be looking at that, men. You turn away from it. Stay away from it. And it's not right for a lady to cause a man to lust. And it's not right for a man to want someone to cause him to lust. Well, let's not practice nudity over the summer. Number four, let's work at keeping our children spiritual and clean over the summer. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse number 6, train up a child in the way he should go. The Bible says we ought to train our children in the way that they should go. Don't make a mockery of the Christian school rules over the summer. Don't undo at home what the school has spent 9 months trying to help you to do with your children. I'll tell you, you've heard me say it before, and I'll say it again. Tell you what happens. We'll work hard all year long, and we'll have kids being obedient, and boy, I mean, what a great ending of the school year. We'll send them home for 3 months, and at the beginning of the school year, it's like a battle of hell trying to get the kids just to obey again. Why? Because they went home and they've been listening to bad music all summer long. They've been doing anything they want all along. They sleep in all day. They're lazy. And then we try to rebuild them in the year. And we're doing it for you. Don't undo over the summer what was done for 9 months out of the year. Don't let TV become your child's babysitter. The television is full of trash, folks. You don't have to be real bright to understand that. It is just full of so much junk. Don't set your kids in front of the television all day long and let the queers in Hollywood train your kids all summer. Want to know what the hardest part about child-rearing is? Hardest part about child-rearing is the parents doing right. And many parents, they won't do right. They therefore have no desire to get their kids to do right. It's hard being a good Christian parent. Our kids need role models. But don't let the television be their babysitter. Don't let the internet eat up all their time. I'm going to tell you all something. I've been doing some reading on an internet, I guess it's an internet service. It's called MySpace.com. It's where young people can log on to it, and they put all sorts of personal information on it. Then they start writing back and forth. And I'm not just talking about other young people. I'm talking about right now, one of the big stirs across America is all the adult sexual predators that are logging on to MySpace.com, and they're making advances on our young people. Listen, parents, you say, I don't know anything about that internet thing. Well, then I'd shut it off. If you can't control it and you can't figure out what to do with it, just shut the thing off. You would not believe the kind of garbage that goes into people's homes off the internet. I'm talking about all the nudity. I'm talking about all the pornography. And here's the sad thing. Some of you parents, you just give it to your kids and let them do whatever they want. You wonder why they push that button, and then you walk into the room, they're hiding something. Some of you parents need to get somebody that can help you get into that internet and find out where your kids have been. Find out what your kids are doing. You would be shocked. You would be shocked what kind of garbage is going on. Let me say this also. Some of you adults, you stay out of the chat rooms with somebody else's husband or wife. You stay away from the pornography. It'll destroy you. You know what? I said that way too harshly. I feel cooler already. All better now. Listen, folks. We've got to stay clean over the summer. We've got to take a proper stand. Parents, get your kids in. Make sure they're here for the youth revival. Make sure your kids are here for Sunday school all summer long. Make sure they stay. Hey, we're going to have Kids Crusade here in a few weeks. Make sure they're here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday night. Make sure the kids are a part of Teen Soul Winning. Make sure they're a part of Young Fundamentalists. Make sure they're here on Wednesday nights. I'm telling you something, some of you parents, you struggle with your kids, but then you won't bring them into Young Fundamentalists. You'll continue to struggle. All we're doing is trying to teach them. You'll struggle. Absolutely you will. Get your kids involved in the program. It's here to help them. We want to help them. And so, let's make sure that over the summer, we do right. Let's not let the summer destroy us. Don't let it destroy your walk with God. Don't let it destroy your faithfulness to church. And don't practice nudity over the summer. Make sure that you help your children to stay spiritually clean over the summer. And, number five, take a proper stand with your family over the summer. When you go visit your family for vacation, go to church. Have a good testimony in front of them. You go down, hey, look, you go down to Georgia and you visit your family, you get you a church, and while you're there, you get up on Sunday morning and you go to church. You go to church on Sunday night, and you go to church on Wednesday night, and let your family see there's something different about you. Let them see that. Politely stand for right. You don't have to start a family war. Stay away from the family's booze. Stay away from their filthy entertainments. Let them see that you're different. Hey, and if the family comes here to visit you and they're staying at your house, come to church. Come to church. Be in church. Invite them to come. And if they won't come, just say, hey, we'll be back here in a little while. You get here and you come to church and you shoot home after the services. But you need to show your family you're different. Don't let the summer destroy you. And when you go on vacation, be spiritual on vacation. Go to church. Read your Bible. Pray. Don't go places that God would disapprove of. Don't get the idea that because you're not around here, you can do wrong. We don't believe in situation ethics. We believe that we're to do right because it's right to do. And I'll warn some of you, don't spend your money so ridiculously and unspiritually that you sink yourself so deep in debt that you can't pay your bills after you come back from vacation. Calm yourself a little bit. Just use some good sense. And so don't let the summer destroy you. Don't let it destroy your walk with God. Don't let it destroy your faithfulness to church. Don't go out and participate in the world's nudity. And make sure you help your kids to stay spiritual over the summer. Take a stand with your family. If you go on vacation, make it a spiritual vacation. Hey, and keep serving God over the summer. Keep serving Him. Keep telling others about Jesus Christ. Keep your soul winning going. Keep working on your bus route. Be faithful to it. Keep faithful. Hey, Sunday school teachers, be faithful to your Sunday school class over the summer. Be faithful to church like you're supposed to be. If you're one of our grounds helpers, and you help keep this all this acreage that we mow and that we trim, hey, do your part. Do your part. I'll tell you something. Brother Butch never gives me names. Brother Butch Burnham looks over. He oversees our ground. He never comes in and he gives me a name of people that don't show up to do their part. But he comes in frequently and says, I don't know what to do. Undependable. I don't know what to do. Thank God he's gracious enough not to give your name, but he comes in frustrated. Hey, show up and do your part. Don't make people babysit you. I mean, if you agreed that you're going to do something to take care of church property, you agreed both to Brother Burnham, but you agreed to God to do it. This is God's property. This is God's work. Don't make us babysit you. Don't make the part that you're responsible for look bad while everybody else's looks good. We ought to take good care of God's property. I don't think anybody forced you to sign up to be a part of keeping the grounds up to date. But don't make people check up on you. Don't make people double check to see if you're going to do what you're supposed to do. Show up. When you don't show up, it's almost a miracle moment. You say, why? Butch almost has the baby every time somebody doesn't show up. That'd be a miracle moment. Be in your place. Hey, don't allow your involvement. Hey, you young people, if you play on some baseball league or something somewhere, don't let your involvement in that keep you out of church. Be in church. Be in church. Don't let the summer keep you from serving God. Not only that, make sure that you don't rob God over the summer. Malachi 3:8, it says, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and in offerings. We're tithed through the summer. You teenagers that go out and get you a summer job, whether you're mowing yards or painting a fence or babysitting or whatever you're doing, make sure that you start your life out right by giving to God what is rightfully His. Don't go on vacation and forget to tithe to your church. Don't rob God of your offerings. We have a faith promise program here, and we promise God that we're going to give Him some money for our missionaries. Let me remind you, you didn't promise me, and you did not promise that money under duress. You did not promise that money under pressure. I stand up here and say, don't you dare promise it and not give it. I'd rather you not promise it. I say it over and over and over again. We do not pressure, we do not push, but once you promise it, we're counting on it, and God wants you to give it. Can I give you a piece of advice? Some of you that struggle paying your school bill, spend the 3 months of the summer preparing to pay your school bill next year. Plan it. Get it together. Be wise about it. But don't rob God over the summer. Let me give you another piece of advice for the summer. Run with the right crowd over the summer. Watch out. There are those that rebel. Do you realize at this point where Jesus Christ, He stood up and He said something, and they said, these are hard sayings. He said, does this offend you? And some said, that's it, we're leaving. We're running away from here. A lot of people run from the truth. I've not been mean. I've not been harsh. So, surely, is it me or is it the truth that you don't like? They ran from Jesus. They ran from Him. These people, when they ran from Him, I'll promise you, somebody was running with the wrong crowd that day. They also left Jesus. Why? They left Jesus because their buddy or their friend left Jesus too. Running with the wrong crowd will get you away from God. Listen now. You know that the music that you listen to, you are choosing to associate with those people?
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I could almost promise you something. If I took the top three rebellious teenagers in this room, top three, we figured out what kind of music they're listening to, I promise you, wrong music.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I bet they're listening to rock and roll music. Somebody had left a list of all the rock and roll songs that they could think of. They left it behind in a pew. Had their name on it. A couple of somebody's. The people at Clean the Church brought it to me and gave it to me. I thought about bringing it up here and reading it tonight. And the funny thing, people that are rebelling. I'm their friend. And if I were not, I would read it. The people, the music you listen to are the people you're choosing to associate with.
Yes, sir.
I run with the right crowd all the way down to the music that you listen to. You know, who you watch on the television is who you choose to associate with. I'd be careful. I'd be careful who you choose to run with. I'd be careful, young people. Find those young people that love the Lord. They want to do right. They want to listen to the right music. They want to show up for Young Fundamentalists. Hey, adults. Every time an adult gets contrary in this church and takes off, half bent out of shape, I guarantee you, they listen to the wrong kind of music. They're running with the wrong kind of people.
Yes.
I promise you. I promise you. You find yourself getting backslidden, just get to checking up who you're spending all your time with. Get to checking up who's really influencing you. Let's keep ourselves right with God. Let's run with the right crowd. Let's make sure that we don't rob God over the summer. Let's keep serving God with our soul winning and our efforts for Him over the summer. Let's go on vacation, but make it a spiritual time. Let's make sure that we take a proper stand when we visit our family and our families come and visit us. Let's help keep our children spiritual over the summer. Let's not practice nudity like the rest of the world. Let's be faithful to church over the summer. Let's make sure that when the summer hits that we don't throw away our walk with God. It's so important. This time of the year, it's just that time of the year. You just learn after you've been in the ministry long enough. There are people that will leave and they'll go on vacation this year, good people from our church, and because they don't vacation right, they get with the wrong crowd, they do the wrong things. There are some that will come back from vacation, backslid, they may not even be back in church. We may never see them again. All because they won't listen to a sermon like this. You say, that some of that's hard. Does it offend thee? You say, well, I'm not coming back. It's the last thing I want to hear you say. I wish you'd say, well, it was hard. It's a little offensive. But I need to hear it. I need to live it. That's really what we need. That's really what we need. Oh, there's a much rougher way of saying what I said this evening. You say, Brother Owens, why is it? Why do preachers get up there and throw fits and throw things? I can tell you why I do. I don't have anything personal with you. I don't have anything personal against you. You go out and mess up your life, it'll break my heart. I don't want it to happen, but you know something? I'll go on with my ministry. But why do preachers get up there and throw a fit? And yell, and scream, and run all over the place, and throw things, and kick things? Well, it's one way of keeping your attention. Some of you are so thick-headed, if we don't throw a fit, you won't listen. I thought maybe if I just was calm and cool, I just talked to you about it, maybe we could accomplish the same purpose. Well, if it doesn't, next week I'll come in here and I'll throw things and I'll kick things. I'll do whatever it takes. But my whole goal is to keep you from messing up your life. Letting your kids mess up your life. You say, some part of that I don't like. Well, let me ask you something. Is the only thing in life you're ever going to participate in the things that you like? So you're going to stop paying any taxes? So did you drop out of school because of something you didn't like when you were in third grade? When your parents were trying to potty train you, you didn't like that. Is that why some of you can't sit still as adults in church? Because whatever you don't like, you're not going to listen to it. You're not going to put up with it. Listen, folks, there's all sorts of things our flesh is not going to like. God knows. Thank God for a God that tells us the difference between right and wrong. And it'll help you. And it's good for us. Jesus threw a fit on more than one occasion. But all the time that He was doing it, He wasn't doing it because He's trying to hurt the people. He was trying to do it to let them see that right is right and wrong is wrong, and we ought to do right. And that's how we ought to do it as well as Christians. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.